You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
God said, tell my people, when the doctor diagnoses them, tell them not to say they have it, but say this is what I'm diagnosed with. But always ask for a second opinion. Isaiah 53 is your second opinion. They might say, based on the signs of the flesh, you have this. But you say, that's what you diagnose. But I don't have to accept your prognosis. You might set my life at 3 months, but by his stripes, I'm healed. And as long as I'm breathing, I'm going to believe God. I want a new thing. Somebody here right now got an issue with your left lung. There's some problems with you breathing. And I don't know, all I see is this lung. And it doesn't seem to work as well as the other. I don't know if you have asthma or some sort of COPD situation. But all I see now is the Holy Spirit blowing in your mouth. And all I see is him fixing that lung. And I'm not going to call you down here to pray for you because this is a new thing. You've got to learn to receive your healing right in that seat. Because I'm not the one with the power. I'm just the messenger. And if you will lift your hand and give God praise, I'm telling you that healing will come to you right now. You got to stop giving up. You got to start accepting the promise of God. This is the day of the supernatural. Joel said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. These are the last days. I'm telling you, get in under the rain. Come on and let the anointing hit you. Come on and let the power hit you. These are the days of the supernatural. My. Let me finish. Paul tells the church at Ephesus, put off the conversation of the old man. Stop talking like a sinner. Tell somebody, stop talking like a sinner. What is the language of the sinner? I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can afford it. I don't know if I'm going to be. How are you? I don't feel too good. I'm just hanging in there. I'm holding on. I'm holding on by the skin of my teeth. I don't know how I made it this far. Smack them. Johnny Fontaine came to the Godfather, sat down with the Godfather. He said, what's the matter? He said, oh, there's a part in a movie. And if this guy would give it to me, it puts me right back on top. Right back on top, Godfather. Godfather said, what's his name? He said, Waltz. Waltz. He said, oh, he won't give it to me. Oh, Godfather, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Pow. You can act like a man. Now, in the movie, they stop it there. But if you ever read the book, in the book, after he slaps him, he says, have you spent so much time in my presence that this is how you act? And when I read that, I think about God listening to his children. God, I don't know how to make it. The devil is beating me up. They tell me I'm going to lose my job. He said, Eric, slap him. How are you going to sit under the word of God and be filled with the Spirit and confess defeat when nothing in you is defeated? You are more than a conqueror. You are a victor. Even if you don't feel like it. On the way to the pass of Thermopylae, Leonidas ran into some other Greek guys. And the guy says to Leonidas, he said, I thought Sparta's commitment would at least match our own. Leonidas said, really? He said, you, what's your profession? He said, sculptor. Wuss. He said, you, what's your profession? Potter. He said, you, your profession? Poet. He said, Spartans, what is your profession? He said, see, my friend, I brought more warriors than you did. It is not the number of your enemy. It is the size of your God.
God wants you all to go through something so that when you run into a Goliath, you'll have a testimony. You'll tell your Goliath, God delivered me before, and he'll deliver me now. Do you notice David never referred to Goliath as a giant? He called him an uncircumcised Philistine. God help me. I wish I could colloquialize that without offending people. He said, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And I'm telling you right now that I'm going to take your head off. And if you look, baby, I don't even have a sword. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you, you will defeat it. I want you to be so pumped right now that you go home and you let the devil know he's got to leave your house. You open the door and kick that rascal out, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm doing something new. Doing something new. God's trying to get us to a new place by the renewing of our mind. I think like a Christian. Got to think like a believer. Got to think like a winner. You got to think like an overcomer. Don't confess your doubts. Doubt your doubts, but trust your God. Let him know that you believe he's able to do exceeding abundantly. It does not say exceeding and abundantly. There is no conjunction. God is not exceeding and abundant. Those are two separate things. But God does things exceeding abundant. In other words, God does more than enough. Why? This is going to blow your mind. Didn't I blow your mind this time? Didn't I? Didn't I blow your mind? Watch. Why does God make you exceeding abundant? Why? Because in Deuteronomy, he said, you'll have the ability to lend and not to borrow. That means I got to give my children more so they become instruments in my hands to bless people that are in need. You know, God doesn't just give you a little bit. God gives you enough. You ought to have so much joy that that person sitting next to you that hasn't raised their hand since they've been in here starts rocking. You got them when they start rocking. They were sitting there all cool, you know. They were looking at the people and scoping the crowd. It don't take all that. But your praise got them rocking. Now, when they start rubbing their knees, they getting ready to get up. They just getting their knees ready for the jump. And after a while, you can't take it no more. Jeremiah said, God, I ain't preaching no more. I ain't telling nobody anything anymore. But when he sat down, he said, it's like a fire. And I'm telling you now, the praise of God is like a fire. You can't just sit on it. You've got to open your mouth and release it. Let me finish. God is doing new things. When you come in here next week, Lord willing, you come in here, you come in with a dance. And your dance ought to reflect what he's done for you in the week. Where's my electric sliders? I ain't going no further. Some of y'all so holy. You know you electric sliders. Well, God's going to put some electric to your slide. There's going to be a surge of power. Somebody in here now, you deaf in your ear. You can't hear good out of one ear. It's in your right ear. I'm seeing it as I talk to you. God said, take your finger and put your finger in your ear right now. You're about to experience the supernatural power of God. On the count of three, I need you to pull it out. And when you pull it out, say, thank you. And watch it pop. In the name of Jesus, I demand, command, and I declare that your healing will be in the next move. One. In the name of Jesus, I demand and command and declare that your healing will be in the next moment too. In the name of Jesus, I demand and command the new thing in your life. Three. Second Corinthians 5, he said, if any is in Christ, who's in Christ? If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. The word new, that noun there, means it comes from the word kainos, which means a species that has never existed before. I wish I had somebody to help me. A species that has never existed before. That means the you that you are now was not from before. You are brand new. Now you got to learn how to talk. And what are words? Words are the sum total of your attitude. Tell somebody, I need a new attitude. Patty told you you need a new attitude. Patty told you, ooh, 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 ooh. Some of you have bad attitudes. How many of you in here have a bad attitude? There you go. Thank God for your honesty. I used to have a bad attitude. I did. I had a rotten attitude because I was Pentecostal. I'd preach and send everybody to hell. I gloried in sending people to hell. I was so arrogant. I was prideful. It was horrible. But God was merciful. Now I'm trying to keep you out of hell. If you smoke, bring your cigarettes to me. If you drink, bring me the liquor. I passed them. But I had a lousy attitude. Self-righteous. Pharisaical, because I was Pentecostal. I was proud of the fact that I dressed right, that I didn't go to the movies. I was proud. But I met Christ on the Damascus Road. See, I had to meet him after I was born again. I was easier to get along with when I was a sinner. My first sermon was in a mechanical drafting class. I stood up. There were 22 guys in that class. I had come to Christ the Sunday before. This class was on a Wednesday. I had 3 days of anointing. Mr. Thompson said, you all keep working. I have to run out for a moment. Soon as that door closed, I stood up and said, y'all all going to hell. They were like, hold their head down. Oh, Lord, something happened to Eric. I said, you need to be saved. You're going to hell. I said, you, and you, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. Teacher came back in. I sat down. Class wasn't joyful no more. People started cutting. I don't want to go if Eric going to be there. I built my whole ministry on sending folks to hell. People would call me to their church. Tell it! Tell it! I said, I am. Then I got saved. I was no longer religious. And I got saved. And I said, Jesus came to deliver you. And if you're doing things that are wrong, come to him. Don't run from him. Our God knows that we are imperfect, and he will chastise us, but chastisement belongs to children. So if God is chastening you today, thank him. That means you're his child. And when he's finished, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. He's doing new things. You don't have to be told you're rotten and going to hell. You don't have to be told if you don't tithe, your refrigerator is going to die. It's going to die anyway. Because it's made by men. Your car, oh, praise the Lord, if you don't give that money, God's going to get his money either way. Your car is going to break down on the way home. Like God is sitting around hiring angelic hitmen to ruin your life because you didn't give. But now here's what I say. If you love him, you will honor him and give him what's his. We shouldn't have to force you to give. We shouldn't have to come up with all types of cute plans and bring the money down to my feet and I'll cut up my handkerchief so you can take pieces of it home. I don't want my handkerchief after I use it. Why should I cut it up for you? But see, people do that because they want you to be so afraid of God that you think of the consequences. Well, let me paint this picture for you and I'm done. All of humanity was going to hell because of Adam's sin. And there was nothing that could be done about it. But God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And so today you are here in the presence of a God who loved you more than you love yourself. And he doesn't want you to go to hell. And he doesn't want you to be consigned to the lake of fire. He wants you to enjoy life. I am come that you might have life, Jesus said. How can you stay away from somebody who loved you so much that he died for you? We fall in love with people who won't even come to see you if it's snowing outside. You my baby, ain't you? Yeah, I'm your baby. I'm your boo. Yeah, you coming over today? Well, I heard it was going to rain. Wait a minute, you just said, you my boo. And I think I made a boo-boo. Because you won't come over because it's raining. It's snowing. Listen, it's dangerous out there. But you said you loved me. Nowhere in the Bible does God say, I love you. In Jeremiah, he says to the children of Israel, I have loved you with an everlasting love. But nowhere does he say, I love you. He doesn't have to. God showed his love. He commendeth his love towards us. You don't need to be ashamed because of how you're living. You need to be ashamed that you don't come to the answer. Our sins separate us from God, but Jesus came to remove sin, to wash you clean, and bring you into the presence of God. Jesus didn't die so I could become a pastor, and he sure didn't die so I could become a bishop. Jesus died so I can become a child of God. I was in the foster care of the kingdom of darkness, and Jesus came and adopted me. He said, I want Eric, even though he's all messed up, narcissistic, and psychotic. I want him. I want him. The devil said, you don't know what he's done. He says, yeah, well, wait till he finds out what I've done for him. Whatever you've done doesn't keep God from loving you. Ain't no mountain high. Ain't no valley low. Ain't no river wide enough. If you need him, call him wherever you are, no matter how far. Just call his name. He'll be there in a hurry. You don't have to worry. Well, there ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough to keep his love from getting to you. You might sit here today without hope because somebody told you your life was so rotten that God would never want you. Well, I'm here to tell you you're exactly the one he wants. You're exactly who he wants. You might be in here today high off a crack. Come on down with your crack head. Jesus will rescue you. You say, preacher, I drink liquor. Bring your liquor to the cross. Bring the Johnny Walker, the Gordon's Gin. Bring the Tiger Rose, the Tokay. Bring the Cristal. Bring it all to Jesus. He can handle it. You might even have some Peruvian flake in your pocket that you intended to snort when you got in the car. Bring it down to Jesus. He can deflate the flake. You might have some Mexican brown that you picked up off of Columbia Avenue. Hopefully it's not oregano, but bring it to Jesus. I'm trying to tell you that there's nothing that you can do that he won't forgive. And he's doing something new. He is saving those that we said were not savable. He is delivering those that we thought were undeliverable. And his love is reaching out. In the last days of her sister's life in Ravensbrück prison, Betsy
Ten Boom had become so frustrated that she had talked back to the guard. And the guard came over to hit Betsy. And Corey, her sister, picked up a shovel to go kill the guard. And her sister, even in her weakened state, said, "Corey, no, no, no hate. We must show them that there is no pit so deep that his love isn't deeper still." Betsy died in prison, but Corey lived to tell the story that Jesus loves us. And somebody in here today needs to know that you are loved. Loved by the awesome, graceful love of God. And he's not sitting there keeping track of your sins. He's sitting there saying, "Come to me." You don't have to come down to the altar physically to come to him. Sometimes I think we make too much of the altar call. It can cause pride to come. But Jesus can save you right in your seat. And if you're not saved, God sent you here. He could have sent you anywhere. But he sent you here because he knew that here you would hear about Jesus. Muhammad cannot save you. He's dead, and his bones are in a tomb. Confucius cannot save you, nor can Aristotle, Plato, or Socrates. No religious leader can save you. I don't care if you're a 32-degree Mason. The Masonic order cannot save you. You might be an Eastern star, and you know the hand signals and the pat and all the other twitching of the head. That won't save you. You might say, "I'm a good person. I don't do anything wrong." Good people don't go to heaven. Only saved people.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, "A New Time is Coming," or the program number, 08319P. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org. Follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
A strong church consists of strong families with fortified marriages. Cultural influences have infiltrated our homes, our families, and our marriages. It's time to stand our ground and fight for our families. Come and learn how to apply godly principles that reveal the enemy's tactics and help you to bring glory to God in your marriage. All married couples are invited to Ask Bishop Lambert for Married Couples, Friday, October 4th at 7 p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue, Wincote, Pennsylvania. Receive a biblical understanding about marriage during this intimate gathering. For more information, call 215-885-2585 or visit BethelDeliverance.org. Let's gather together for this special session to discover how to build our marriages and our homes. We'll see you there. Mark your calendars now as the Sons of Bethel return for the Koinonia Fall Revival. During this exciting homecoming, we'll hear from Pastor Jason Spruill of Smyrna, Delaware, Pastor Kevin Washington of Camden, New Jersey, Pastor Tim Baldwin of Northeast Philadelphia, and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon of Pottstown, PA. Services will be held Tuesday, October 15th through Friday, October 18th at 7 p.m. nightly at the main sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church. The address is 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue, Wingcope, PA 19095.